Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Luke Cobray.
Amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Now, if you're just joining with us today, we've been in this Bible study, or this book study, I should say, in the book of Hebrews, and we've been in Hebrews for a long time. And it's kind of crazy because as I was looking in my Bible, this is I have several different Bibles. I have a reading Bible, and I have a preaching Bible, and I have a study Bible, and I've got like all these different Bibles, but this is like my preaching Bible. So as I was looking at my preaching Bible, it kind of scared me a little bit, because we got into Hebrews and I realized in my Bible, we're like in the last column of the book of Hebrews. And I'm not sure where we're going after this. I don't know. It's been so long that we've been studying the book of Hebrews for like 6 or 7 years. But today we're in the Hebrews, the 13th chapter, and you're just joining us today. You don't have to worry about missing out on 13 years or six years of teachings. I believe God's going to speak to you right where you're at. As a little bit of background for Hebrews, I kind of do this every time I talk. Just as a reminder, Hebrews is a letter. Actually, theologians or historians don't know quite if Hebrews is a letter or if it's a sermon. We don't know who wrote it, and we don't know exactly to who it was written to. We do know it was written to believers in the region of Italy, and it could have been a letter, it could have been a sermon, but whatever it was, Hebrews stands out as one of the great books of the New Testament. And it's written to Jewish believers, and so there's a lot of imagery in this book. There's a lot of exemplifications by comparing and contrasting things that were in Jewish tradition to what Jesus did. And it's great to understand and it's great to see, but you know, sometimes there are verses in the Bible that no matter who you are, no matter where your background is, where you came from, or how far or theologically deep you go, you can just read those verses and say, man, I know that verse is for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'll give you one of those verses. John chapter 3, verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Like, no matter who you are, you read that book, you read that verse and you're like, man, that's great. There are some verses in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, that when you have been thousands of years removed from the culture, thousands of years removed from the day, you read these verses and you kind of say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. And so you kind of read over something else, like, let me just go back to John 3:16, because I know that. And today, I think that Hebrews can be that way, especially for us. You know, if you didn't grow up in Jewish tradition and you didn't understand some things that the Bible talks about, especially in the book of Hebrews, it paints a lot of pictures according to that. It's easy to just kind of read through that and to understand, okay, you know, it's talking to somebody else. But I believe that as we're looking at what Hebrews is going to talk to us today, I believe that we're going to look at not just what it says and not just what it's saying, but also why it is saying what it's saying. Because I believe when we get a hold of that answer, when we get a hold of that concept, I believe God's going to do some great things in our lives. And he wants to speak some amazing truths that even though we may not be in the same culture, we may not think the same thoughts, we may not view life as the way the people, the recipients of the letter or the sermon of Hebrews are, that we can see exactly what God wants for us. So with that, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to read verses number 12, verses number 13, and verse number 14. And they all, I believe, today build upon the next. And we're going to look at these. We're going to look at just not only what they say, not only what they're saying, but also why is it being said to you and I, so we can have a greater understanding of what God wants for us. And so verse number 12 picks up, and Pastor Dan talked about this last week, living and called out by grace and understanding, you know, that we're not bound by a sacrificial system any longer. And it says, because of that, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Man, don't that just jump out on the page of truth and revelation to you? Don't you just say, man, that is just so rich. God spoke so deeply to me, and you don't even need to preach on that, Pastor. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, because it doesn't, right? You're kind of like, I don't even know what it's talking about. It's talking about gates and camping, and it's talking about reproaches and suffering. And like, this is kind of one of those verses that when you read it, you're like, can I read one of those verses that makes me feel good? I want one of those verses. But I believe that when we look at what it's saying, and not only what it's saying, but we see why it's saying what it says, then we can get a hold of what God wants for our lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at this, and we're going to understand first and foremost verse number 12 talking about Jesus, and then we'll look at verse number 13 and what that means to you and I. And verse number 14 kind of ties, I think, both of them together today. When we look at verse number 12, we understand, and I think that most people today can understand, and most people today realize that Jesus Christ died on a cross, and he died. And we understand that he died for our sin. What does that mean? Well, sin is that contrary nature to God. You know, you think about it like this. Humanity was born into this nature. You and I were born into this nature of sin, or at odds or separation from God. That's why nobody had to teach you how to lie. Nobody had to teach you how to cheat on that test when you didn't know the answer, but you know that your neighbor did, and you looked over the neighbor's answer and copied it. Nobody told you how to do that. Nobody told you how to cover your hiney when you didn't want to get in trouble, and all far more worse things. We figured that stuff out all on our own. Why? Because the sin nature of humanity is this nature on the inside of us that says, I can do things my way. I can do them how I want, when I want, with who I want, whatever I want. That's what I want in life. And this nature, this sinful nature of humanity puts us at odds with God's righteous nature. And so Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for you and I, so that we could, it says right here in verse number 12, so that we could be sanctified, which set apart, that we could be made righteous in the eyes of God. The question is, why did Jesus die on a cross? You just said it, Pastor. To sanctify us, to redeem us, to allow us to be righteous to God. But that's the what Jesus did. I'm asking, why did Jesus Christ go and die on a cross for humanity? Mixed answers, kind of people are mumbling, there's a murmur amongst the crowd, and everybody's like, Pastor, I'm not going to answer because you're going to tell me I'm wrong. The answer is love. Is love. You see, what Jesus did, we say, well, Jesus died on a cross for our sins. That's what he did. Why? What was the motivating factor that brought God to earth in the form of a man through Jesus Christ that sent him to a cross to die? The motivating factor is love. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle writes in Romans, the 5th chapter, he says, you know what? You and I understand this. He says, you would never die for a bad person. Nobody would make that trade. He says, scarcely anybody would ever die for a good person. But God, verse number 8 in the 5th chapter, he says, but God demonstrates his love towards us. That while we were sinners, while we were at odds against God, while we were outside or rejects to the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for love, to show love. As a matter of fact, in John's epistle or his letter, the book of 1 John, we would call it, the 4th chapter, John says that the love of God was made manifest. To manifest something is to make it known. The love of God was made known to humanity in that Christ died for us. The whole reason that Jesus Christ went to the cross is for love, to show you and I love. Now, what we see here is we understand that. That's the why. And it's so important that we lay that foundation. We're going to continue to talk about that foundation today. But I want to also look at what Hebrews is saying, because it says that Jesus went and he suffered. So we know that his suffering was because of love. But it shows this imagery, this idea. It says that he suffered outside the gate. What does that mean? Well, let's talk about that. In years past, in history past, in the time of Jesus and before Jesus, and slightly even after Jesus, cities were surrounded by walls. As a matter of fact, I've got a picture of an ancient city. This is in Israel. This is the ancient city of Dan. Not like Pastor Dan, even though it's the same name. It's the ancient city of Dan. And these are walls that were there in the time of Jesus. And you can see that these are great walls. As a matter of fact, the walls were so thick around these cities that people built their houses inside of these walls. And the walls served as containment. To contain something simply means to control it. You can control what goes in, and you can control what goes out. And in culture, in 2,000 years ago, in the time of Jesus, to live within the city was an honor, was a status symbol, was a place of position, was a sense of comfort, was a sense of belonging, because you are within the containment of a city. You belonged to something. To be outside of the city meant was a disgraceful position to live in. Why? Because you were on the outside of the containment, of the control, of the community at large. Think about it like this. If you've got these walls that surround and you're controlling what goes in, what goes out, there are things that you do and there are things that you do not do within those walls. We do this today. You and I, we live indoors, by and large, we live inside, right? And when your trash can gets full, where do you take the trash? Outside, right? Or out of the house. So if you don't, then you know what's going to happen is, you know, like all the liquids that you throw in the trash are going to get to the bottom, and then you pull it out of the trash can, it's going to snag, and then as it snags, it's going to drip all the way down, and then it's going to be that funky smell if you don't catch it, and you're like, Pastor Luke, you're revealing too much about your own self. We don't leave our trash in our house, right? We want it out of our house. It's the same thing with the city. With the things of the city, you kept things that were dirty, you put them out of the city, not in the city, because you wanted to control what was in the city. Okay, let's take it one more step further, because this is kind of sometimes what we do as Cobras and in my family's tradition is you talk about bodily functions. When you go to the bathroom, I'm not going to talk about anything other than that. When you go to the bathroom, you flush the toilet, and it goes where? Out of the house. There's not a corner in your house where everything piles up, right? You want it out. Why? Because if it stayed in your house, it would make it nasty and dirty, right? So to understand, to be in the city meant good, meant control, meant contained, meant accepted. To be outside of the city culturally, outside of these walls, meant that you lived amongst the garbage. You lived amongst the foreigners and the outcasts. People who were dirty, people who were unclean, people who were not accepted in the culture, were not allowed through. That's actually the city gate of the city of Dan. And it actually makes an elbow. Why? For control. Because if an army or a battle, people wanted to come and fight against that, if they could just bust through the gate, then they can make it. But if they had to make a turn, it would create a bottleneck of control. And so there they would control what goes in and what comes out. And it was all a status of symbol. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews that Jesus suffered outside that's the gate right there, not like a garden gate, a city gate. Jesus suffered outside the gate. If you've got a Bible, you can look at it later on, but I was thinking about this, the services. You've got these things in the back of your Bible. You always kind of wonder what they are because they kind of throw off your way to, when you try to look at things, you know, the maps, the paper is heavier than the other paper and it's hard. But there's usually a map right here, and my Bible has it like this. I don't know if you guys can zoom in on it. Is that as far as you go? All right, look at. There's a map, and this is the city walls of Jerusalem. Outside of the city walls of Jerusalem, there are a couple of different places in which Jesus was likely crucified. Now, today, many of those places that they suspect are within the city walls because the city got bigger. But Jesus was taken out onto a hill. They called it Golgotha, the hill of the skull. It was probably a quarry or a waste heap or a rubble pile. And Jesus was taken outside of the city of Jerusalem. And there, that suffering we're talking about is the crucifixion for you and I. And he did it, we need to understand, for love. I remember a couple of years ago, there was this movie that came out. Christians, we watch it around every Easter time. It's called The Passion of the Christ. Anybody know what movie I'm talking about? It talks about it kind of shows the imagery of the crucifixion and the process leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I remember when it came out, there was tremendous support from the church, but at the same time, there was also a big backlash against that movie because people felt that it had anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish tones because it kind of painted this picture of people that wanted to get Jesus out, that rushed him out, that pushed him out, get him out of here. We don't want him. But one thing we need to understand, and this is where it really, really matters, is that Jesus was not taken outside of the city. Long before Jesus ever went to the cross, he tells his disciples exactly his plan in John the 10th chapter in verse number 18. Jesus says it like this. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I've received from my Father." Does anybody know what it Jesus is talking about? His life. Jesus is talking about his life, and Jesus says, "Nobody takes my life from me. Nobody is going to take me, drag me, pull me outside of the city." But rather, Jesus embraced that cross and he carried it. He walked. He willingly went outside to the place of refuge, to the place of disgrace. Why? For love. to show the world love. And if we don't understand this principle, if we don't understand this precept, if we don't see why Jesus did what he did, then the next verses aren't going to be verses that encourage us at all. Because if you don't understand the value of something, you'll have a really hard time paying the price for it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Example, you could pay $350,000, $60,000, $70,000 for probably an 1,800, 2,000 square foot house in Beaumont in the new housing communities, right? But for the same size house in San Francisco, y'all are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. It's going to be like $1.2 million, almost $1 million more for the, but you look at it, it's the same house, it's built with the same type of 2x4s and sheetrock and windows and everything. Why? Because the land is more expensive there than it is in Beaumont. When you wake up in San Francisco, you look out at the view and you see, and then you wake up in Beaumont and you look out at the view. But when you see the value of it, you look at the price and say the value outweighs the prices that's asked of me. And when we look at the Bible, and we look at some of the words that Jesus himself tells us, we look at what Hebrews tells us, we look at what we're about to read, it comes at a great cost to us. Because if we don't see the value of what was done for us and why it was done for us, then we look at this cost and we say, it's not something that I really want to pay. It's not something that I really want to do. But Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse number 13 says, therefore, let us, and whenever you see let us, that's like an exhortation. That's like, come on, let's go! Everybody, vamos! Let us go to him. Who's him? Jesus. Where did he go? Outside. Where does the outside mean? To the place of disgrace. Bearing his reproach. Man, isn't that just like, don't you just wake up every morning like, man, I'm so glad that I get to be rejected by the world and that I have to go and pick up my cross and carry it every day and it's this heavy burden to bear. Boy, I just love Jesus so much. You see, you read that and you see that this verse is a cost. This verse speaks to you. And that's why when we first read it today, you kind of went, oh my God, I should have gone to another church today. Because this verse talks about a cost of our lives. But when we see the value, and that's why I spent so much time talking about the why Jesus did what he did. He did it because he loves you. See, Jesus left the containment of the city walls to show the world real love. Jesus left the containment of city walls so that he could show the world what real love is. And now, Hebrews tells us, go and do likewise. Go to Jesus. Do what he did. Did what he did. Why? Because he wants us to see something in our lives. But you say, Pastor Luke, we don't live in walled cities anymore. They don't wall our cities. We left those centuries ago. Some people might say, oh, man, they should build a wall around San Bernardino. You know, maybe that was just kidding. We don't live in walled cities anymore. What we exchanged walled cities for suburbs and master planned communities. So what does this mean to us today? Because even though we've left walled cities, that doesn't mean that we've stopped building walls in our lives. And this, I believe, is why we can so easily overlook these things, because we don't see how it relates to us any longer. I want to use this illustration. I want to kind of make an illustration out of it, so I'm going to need some help, so I'm just going to ask some people. Miss Madeline, can I borrow you? I promise I won't make you do anything. Larry, can I borrow you? Teresa, can I borrow you? Stace, girl, come on. You got to come up on the stage just so I can see you. Miss Ruth, can I borrow you? Can I borrow you? Come on, Ruth. Come on. Get up here. Come on. Stop moving at a glacial pace. All right, let's see. Teresa, Pastor Joel, can I borrow you? BC, my brother, can I borrow you? Jackie, can I borrow you? People are like, man, this is why I don't sit on the front row. I see Stephanie and Jackie right there. He's like, you ain't calling me up. This, you know what? Just because you're hiding, Jackie, can you come up here? Come on, brother. I know. Come on, brother. Somebody's celebrating 50 years today, huh? Hey, you know what, though? I'm gonna make it. Come on. I'm gonna make it good on you. Here's how. Hey, Stephanie, can you come up here too? She thought she got out of it. She's like, nobody called me up. Come on, Stephanie. All right, everybody just kind of line up. So we don't live in walled cities anymore. Now, I'm gonna just show you an illustration. But before I even show you this illustration, you just need to understand, this is an illustration. This is no way represents me. This is for visual purposes. We all understand that? Got it? Okay. So we live in walls, or we still build walls today, but these walls aren't walled cities. These are emotional walls. These are socioeconomic walls. These are political walls. These are theological walls. These are mindsets or affiliations. These are political party walls. And so here's what we do. We build these walls of our lives and we say, you know what? This is my life. This is my space. Now we call it personal space, right? And we're like, oh my goodness, this is everything I need. And here's what we do. Here's how we build our walls today. Here's the gate. We say, you know what? Oh, the gate broke. All right, there we go. Man, Pastor Dan, your little thing right here. Oh, there it goes. I'm like, man, this is Pastor Dan's little doggy kennel. Okay, let me see. First and foremost, I'm going to invite Stacy into my walls because she's my wife. And dang, I'm so lucky. Miss Madeline, she's my assistant. She makes my world go around on the weekdays. Miss Madeline, will you come and join me within my walls? All right, Stephanie, you and I, we work very closely together. She's our church administrator. Can everybody just tell Stephanie, can give her applause? Come on in. I invite you into my walls. Thank you. Jackie, come on, girl. We like to just, yeah, no, sorry, not that Jackie. Miss Ruth, we went to Israel together, and I like to make fun of you. Come on in. I'd like you to be a part of my life. There you go. Then look at this is what we do. And then you know what we do? We say, these are our walls. I'm going to contain this. It's my life. All the people that are in here are people that I know, people that I'm comfortable with, people that think like me, people that act like me, well, some of them don't, but people that believe the same things as me, people that have the same type of interests as me. But then you notice, I brought other people up, and we don't let them, man, this gate, man, I'll tell you, that gate. We don't, come over here to the light. Y'all, come over here, into the light. You notice there's something what I did, right? You notice that I look different than everybody else in here. You know, come on, Pastor Joel, get on. You're a vato. As a matter of fact, come on. No, you don't get it. Get out of my gate. You see, everybody over here in these walls that I create in my life, they're like me. They have the same political affiliations as me. They have the same theological precepts as me. They may have the same socioeconomic life that I'm in. They live in the same communities as me. They just think like me. But then there are people out there, and my walls are designed to keep them out because they don't think like me, especially him. They don't look like me, especially him. And this is exactly what we do today. This is exactly what is going on today. Because if you notice, racial tensions don't appear to be getting better. If you look at political affiliations, we live in a world that's so crazy now that we can say, you know what? You don't agree with me. And because you don't agree with me, it's okay that I hate you. And what do? We put everything in our wall, in our gate, and we lock it up and we say, I have containment, control, and comfort with what I know. But you notice that Hebrews tells us that you and I, followers of Jesus, we don't just invite Jesus into our gate. We don't just say, come on, Jesus, come with us. It says that we go to where Jesus went. Because remember, they didn't take Jesus out the gate. Man, this gate. He went on his own. And what the Bible doesn't say is the Bible doesn't say, especially you now, invite Jackie into my gate. Because the Bible says, leave the walls behind and go to where Jesus went. Because Jesus went where it was a little bit uncomfortable. A little bit, a lot bit. Jesus went where nobody else was going. Jesus went to the people that nobody wanted to be around. And what did Jesus do? He left the containment of city walls to show the world real love. Now the Bible asks of you and I to leave the containment of our personal walls to show the world what real love looks like. Thank you guys, that's it, easy. Happy birthday, 50 years, dang! You look good, you look good. And you know what's so amazing is that the verse, instead of builds upon the other verses. And it says that we don't have a continuing city, verse number 14. What does that mean, eternal city, everlasting? Because what happens to you and I is we allow these walls that we build to define us. And we say, this is me, this is just who I am. I'm just like this. Just accept me for who I am. And if you don't accept me for who I am, then I just won't accept you for who you are. Then we live in a gate and they live in a gate and nobody goes in between. It becomes no man's land. Yeah, that's right. But you see, the Bible tells us that we don't have a continuing sitting. Why? Because this isn't who we are. This isn't everything that is about life. There's something greater. See, Paul the Apostle said in Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. There's neither slave nor free. Because we're all one in Jesus Christ. You see, where we are today is not who we will be forever. And not to just let the world into our gates, but Jesus and the Bible is encouraging us to fling the gates of our personal space open and to go to the places that nobody wants to go. Why? So that we can show the world what love really looks like. You know, there's this commercial on TV, and you've seen it. If you've watched TV for any amount of time, it's been on TV for a long time. It's these people, and they go behind this really big LED screen. And behind the big LED screen, it's like an X-ray, and like you just see their bones. And then, you know, they hug, or they hold hands, or they kiss, or whatever. And then they come out, and it talks about love as all different shapes and forms. And it was put out by the Ad Council of the United States. I was walking just a while back, and I even heard other people talking about it, walking through retail centers. And you see these big banners, love and tolerate and accept each other. On the stores and all these things, different, celebrate our diversities. I remember even one time I saw this commercial, it was by an insurance company, and this person, they were walking on their phone, and they were about to step in the street, and somebody like stopped them, and like a bus came by, and somebody else saw that they did a good deed for somebody else, and so then they like did a good deed, and then somebody saw their good deed, and then somebody else did a good deed because they saw a good deed, and then somebody else saw a good deed, and then they did a good deed, and that person came by and did like a good deed for another person, and it kind of like came full circle. The message was just like, help somebody out. It should not be. It should not be that we have the Ad Council of the United States. I should say it like this. It should not have to be that we have the Ad Council of the United States telling us to love. It should not have to be that we have banners and retail centers telling us that we should accept each other and that we should love each other. It should not have to be that insurance companies. And here's the real message of it. If y'all help each other out, your insurance costs will go down. Yeah. It should not have to be that we need to encourage each other to help somebody out when they're in need. Yes. And if there is a group of people on the face of the earth today that should know and show what real and true love is, it's the church. But maybe I'll get on my soapbox for a minute. You know what? I'm already on a box. I don't need to get on it. Maybe, just maybe, we've just spent too much of our time standing behind this. That the world is doing it for us. But you see, Hebrews tells us that Jesus chose to go out of that gate. And then it encourages you and I, go out from the camp, the walls of your personal space. You know, many theologians believe that what it's actually talking about to the people of the time is they were so deeply rooted into the history and the tradition of Judaism that it was an encouragement to leave the confinements of Judaism as you understand it, to follow Jesus. And you and I today, we are so confined by our personal space and our personal tastes and our personal preferences that we've locked ourselves in behind these walls And the Bible says, go outside of those walls, because it's outside of those walls that love is revealed. You see, when I see how Jesus loved, it's totally different than everything else. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells his disciples in John the 13th chapter, and I'll just finish on these verses today. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, John 13, 34, he says, I give you a new commandment. It's actually not a new commandment. This is a well-established commandment. Jesus did something different. He says, I give you a new commandment to love one another. That's not new. That's old. But Jesus adds something to it. As I have loved you. You see, Jesus came and he showed the world what love looked like. When you go back and you read about Jesus, Jesus went to the people that nobody would touch, lepers, and he touched them. Jesus had dinner at the house that nobody else would ever have dinner at, the tax collectors and the outcasts. Jesus called a bunch of blue-collar guys that were just fishermen and tax collectors and zealots and said, come on, follow me and you'll change the world. Jesus took people who were caught in the middle of adultery. They were dragged out of the city to be killed for their crimes. And Jesus says to them, as their accusers leave from his words, he says, where are your accusers? Neither do I accuse you. You see, Jesus showed the world what love is. And maybe, just maybe, as a church, as people, as followers, as Christians at large, we spent too much time behind our walls that other people have started to try to do what God has mandated us to do. And that is to go outside of our personal walls and to show the world what real love looks like. And Jesus says to love one another as I have loved you, love one another. And here's what I love about this. In the next verse, and he says, and by what? Love. Not by the fact that you wear a cross. Not by the fact that you attend church on Sunday. Not by the fact that when you pull into your neighborhood, you roll your windows down and you turn on the Christian radio so all your neighbors will know you're a Christian. Not by the fact that you got a bumper sticker. By this. By what will really make a change in this world. This love. They will know that you are my disciples. If we see why Jesus did it, yes, he did it to free us from our sins, but why did he do it? He did it to show the world real love. Why does he ask us to do it? Because he says, I want you to go and to show the world around you what real love looks like. Think about it, church. What problem exists today on earth that the church and the love of God could not solve if we would just leave the gate? Jesus left the confines of city walls to show the world what real love looks like. Hebrews 13, verse 13, encourages you and I to leave the confines of our personal walls to show the world what real love looks like. Did you guys get something out of the Word of God today?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.